Welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Thursday, May 25th, 2023. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighton. Thank you for joining me today. We've got a lot of announcements and two fascinating interviews coming up. First interview is with Doug Billings with the Right Side broadcast show. And he's got an event coming up in Branson that features some really amazing speakers, such as Ann Vandersteel and Dr. Jane Ruby and Mel Kay and attorney Thomas Renz and a bunch of others, many of whom are hosts here on Brighton.com. And we're going to be interviewing Doug Billings and asking him questions about RFK Jr. versus Trump and the Rhino establishment versus the Democrat establishment and how we can restore our republic. So you won't want to miss that interview coming right up here in a few minutes. In addition, we have Adam Riva joining us again. He's a return guest, and he is with Dauntless Dialogue, the company that makes these outstanding films like Luciferian Shadow, what is it, Suicided, and so on. And his documentary called Human Farming runs this Saturday on Brighton University. It's free to watch. Just go to brightu.com, click here to register, and you can enter your name and email address and watch the entire documentary for free. And it's a mind-blowing documentary. And we get to talk to Adam Riva here on the show. We got interrupted last week, so we brought him back to chime in on some of the horrors of Big Pharma and also, by the way, what he calls the Deep Church, which is inside the Vatican, and all the shenanigans going on behind those tall walls of Vatican City with all the secrecy of the Vatican Church. It's not a hit on Catholicism, by the way. This is about corruption that has happened in the Catholic Church, which, of course, is very onerous to all of Catholicism, by the way. Anyway, we'll get to that interview coming up. Also, I want to start out on naturalnews.com today because we have several key interesting stories. Let me show you this study, which is shocking. A study finds that lab-grown meat generates up to 25 times more CO2 than conventional beef production. So you know how the globalists have been pushing us into all this artificial food. And they're saying, oh, it's because of the climate. You know, we can't let you have cows, for God's sake. I have to shut down all the ranches in the Netherlands and all across Europe. And they're trying to do it in America now, too. The problem is the lab-grown meat is far worse. And this is a study that was published on April 21st in the BioRxiv journal, that the environmental impact of lab-grown meat is likely to be orders of magnitude higher than median beef production. So, in other words, and this model contradicts previous studies suggesting that the environmental impact of cultured meat is likely to be higher than conventional beef production systems. In other words, if you want to save the planet, actually buy real beef from real ranchers and real cows, interestingly, right? It's actually green to have cows. And so the war on beef is not really a war to save the climate. That's just the cover story. It's really a war to cause mass starvation. It's a war to cut the food supply, have rationing, like, you know, Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, he's talking about right now, he's got to cut meat by 33%. So if you live in New York, you're going to have your meat supply cut. And how are they going to do that? Well, through rationing, obviously. They're going to monitor your purchases of food. And how are they going to do that? Oh, through central bank digital currency systems and digital money systems that the government surveils and controls. That's how they can limit you. Or they can just do it through your credit card. Oh, your JP Morgan credit card, guess what? Oh, you've bought too much beef or too many hamburgers, too many hot dogs, whatever. And they can limit you that way. And yes, that day is coming. But if we don't have money freedom, then we don't have the kind of financial freedom that is absolutely necessary to be able to survive what's coming. I mean, they will limit your food purchases. The government will. They will probably limit your gasoline purchases. They will limit your ability to buy a combustion engine vehicle. I mean, they're outlawing them in California and other places. So if you don't have money that's free to use, that's under your control, you don't have privacy at all. By the way, speaking of money, you can save some money in our sale coming up now, starting, well, today. It's the Memorial Day sale at the Health Ranger store. Let me bring this up here. Here it is. Go to healthrangerstore.com/Memorial Day, healthrangerstore.com/Memorial Day, And we are introducing the Silverite Perfect Bed Pillows, which are silver-infused pillows. The outer pillow case and the inner pillow shell are both infused with silver, laboratory validated, and the pillow is filled with kapok fiber, which is this here. I have one right here. This is this natural fiber that looks like the fur from an albino Chewbacca or something. This stuff right here. And it's you know, naturally repels moisture. It's made from seed pods. It's a renewable substance that grows in the seed pods of trees in rainforest regions, by the way. So, you know, you don't kill the tree. You just collect it from the seed pods. Yes, it's expensive. This is no competition with Mike Lindell, by the way. These are not pillows in that price range. This is a lot more expensive, but we're making it 10% off for you in order to get these while supplies last. Silver infusion, double layer of silver, plus the kapok natural fiber, because we don't like polyurethane. We don't like synthetic substances in the foam. You're going to have your best night's sleep with this pillow, and because it has a zipper shell, you can pull out the stuffing if it's too much stuffing, or you can put the stuffing back in. You can have just the right amount of thickness that you want. That's on sale while supplies last during the Memorial Day sales event at healthrangerstore.com. In addition, here we go. Well, there's a lot about pillows there. In addition, 10% off our lab-verified supplements and superfoods. So some of these are 20% off. Others are 10% off. Here's one 24% off. We've got essential oils. We've got superfoods. Liposomal vitamin C, all lab tested, by the way, all available during the Memorial Day sale event, colloidal silver mouthwash, histamine block plus, and we've also got gear, our high molecular weight polyethylene cord, survival cord. We've got blueberries, which are freeze-dried organic in number 10 cans, and a whole bunch of other stuff, freeze-dried food in kale, all lab tested, all certified organic. Enjoy all of that. The sale runs today through Monday night at midnight while supplies last at the Health Ranger store. Now, getting back to the news here, this is from Mark Crispin Miller. Since last August, 27 comedians have died suddenly and 4 more fell gravely ill. And you know why this is, folks? It's because the CDC pays comedians to mock anti-vaxxers in their comedy routines. So a lot of comedians are actually paid to take these death jabs, and then they died. An astonishing number of them died. So if you're wondering why more comedians are dying, that's why, because they are, of course, taking the jabs because they're being paid to do so. And, you know, it just goes to tell you, you need to make sure that you don't suicide yourself for money, because the CDC has a massive budget, an over $1 billion budget, to pay out to so-called influencers to get those influencers to kill themselves by taking vaccines, to try to convince other people to kill themselves taking those same so-called vaccines, which aren't even really vaccines. But that's why so many people are dying. And, you know, we covered that story yesterday about 646 rural hospitals at risk of shutting down across America. Why is that? Because they killed their medical staff with the vaccines. Yeah, there's a lot of people who are no longer with us because of those jabs, and that's all by design. Now, one person who is no longer with the New York City College, her name is Shalene Rodriguez. She is a woman of color, New York City College professor, who threatened the New York Post reporter with a machete. That's right. Here's the photo. Here's the video. She's like, she got a machete up to his throat right there. Look at that. Look at that. This reporter goes to her door and is like, hey, I want to talk to you. We're from the Post. And she comes out with a machete and puts it up to his neck. And then she sees there's a camera recording the event, and she goes back inside there. So, wow, I didn't know. This is the professor, by the way, that was threatening the pro-life table that was put on by some pro-life students at this college. And this professor woman came up and was cursing and was being belligerent and then like rocking the table and everything. And the students were just stunned, you know, trying to be polite. We didn't mean to, you know, hurt anybody's feelings. And this professor was just being a belligerent bitch. She was just going at it. And I wonder what she would have done if she had that machete with her on campus. Huh? Could have been a machete wielding a baby butcher professor at the New York City campus. I mean, I laugh, but it's no joke. Look at her. She's like, looks like she can wield that machete. She must have been practicing on some sugar cane down in Ecuador or something. That's the last time I saw people wielding machetes with a lot of proficiency. I bet you she's a sugar cane whacking, wacko, left-wing lunatic terrorist. That's just my opinion. But look at her, man. Seriously? You're going to come at somebody? You're going to come at a reporter with a machete? That is a real piece of work right there. So she's suing the police over allegations that officers abused her when she was arrested during a George Floyd protest. Why are we not surprised? So here we go. And here she is in attack mode on the New York City sidewalks. Is that, what is that in her hand? Is that a machete too? Does she walk around New York City with a machete? Man, it's like a video game or something here. I mean, this is crazy, but that's New York. Those are left-wing radicals, and no wonder they like to mutilate children with scalpels. That's just a smaller machete, right? And they love their machetes. Okay, here's a story moving on. I had to show you that. From the Daily HODL, HODL meaning holders, people who hold crypto, JP Morgan is abruptly freezing customers' bank accounts and discriminating against clients without warning, say law enforcement officials in 19 states. Abso-freaking-lutely. This is what I'm talking about. This is why I'm so fed up with the fiat currency banking system. This is what really got me into decentralized finance, okay? So I want to thank JP Morgan for running the greatest recruitment drive for cryptocurrency that has ever existed, and also Justin Trudeau of Canada. More people have turned to crypto because of the Orwellian, you know, totalitarian tendencies of these banks and these governments saying that, oh, you don't own your own money. You don't get to control your money. And crypto, any form of crypto, at least it's money under your control. And, you know, with the privacy-oriented coins, it's even better because nobody knows you even have that money. Nobody can stop you from sending money. Nobody can ban your wallet ID because they don't even know what it is. But right now, JP Morgan, look at this article. JP Morgan is persistently discriminating against his own clients and closing bank accounts without warning, according to Republican attorneys general in 19 states. Led by Kentucky AG Daniel Cameron, sent a letter to JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon, you know, warning about this. It's clear JP Morgan is doing all this. Yes, of course they are. JP Morgan is run by bigots. They are bigots. They are pro-censorship. They discriminate against people based on their viewpoints. And JP Morgan, through this kind of action, is actually driving people to the off-ramps, which are gold and silver and crypto. So thank you, Jamie Dimon, for being an amazing recruiter for decentralized finance. Keep it up. Maybe they'll ban me soon as well, but that's okay. I'm leaving your bank anyway. I'm fed up with your bank. You know, screw your bank. I'm going to put money where I still have control over it and where it won't be surveilled. And as I showed on my sheet here, that's privacy-oriented crypto coins. You know, look, some people are surprised that I've changed my position on this. The circumstances have changed. You know, 5 years ago, banks didn't do this before. 5 years ago, they didn't ask you all these questions like, oh, are you sure you want to wire your money? Do you know where you're sending it? You know, are you under duress? You know, all this kind of stuff. It's like you have to now be interrogated by your own bank when you want to wire money somewhere. Or as we were doing recently, you know, we sent out literally $500,000 in donation checks recently from our nonprofit. And on the day that we, you know, there's a online bill payment service that we use, and we issued the checks, you know, multiple checks for all these independent media outlets and so on, $500,000. And they froze it all. And they froze it, and they left a voicemail. Oh, we can't release your own funds until we talk to you. Screw you, man. If I want to write checks for $500,000 and give money away to people, that's my right to do that. It's none of your damn business to get in the middle of that which is what these banks keep doing. You can't even give away money without being deemed some kind of criminal. That's how bad it is. So, you know, pardon my language, but screw you, JP Morgan. We don't even need you. We don't need you any longer. We're taking our money out. We're moving off from the fiat currency banking system, except for where we absolutely need to meet payroll or whatever. But guess what? There's a payroll company that we're looking at that offers payroll services in Bitcoin. So we are going to actually offer our own employees payroll options in Bitcoin. Yes, screw the banking system. The banking system does not work. It's broken. It's a joke. You have no control over your own money. So I'm getting everything out of the banking system that I possibly can. So thank you, Daily Hodl here, for what is this, news and insight for the digital economy. Thank you for putting this story together. You are absolutely correct. And it took me a while to realize this, but you are correct. Okay. Now let's see, moving on. Here's a story. Oh my gosh. This is about Target teaming up with Satan, Target stores, Target retailers. You know, Bud Light just teamed up with, what's that guy's name? Mulvaney, who pretends to be a girl or whatever. Transgender Mulvaney, and Bud Light is losing market share. Like it's, I mean, talk about a collapse of a brand. It's epic to watch that. It's worse than what Gillette did to their brand. It's like, we'll never buy another Gillette shaver. We'll never drink a Bud Light ever. It like, there's no coming back from that, by the way, in the minds of most men. But Target goes even further, and Target says, we're going to just partner with Satan, right? For the children's clothing line. Here it is from Scarlett Johnson. I know I covered this the other day, but look, why did Target hire a Satanist to design pieces for their recent Pride clothing line? There it is. They have an actual Satanist making clothes for children, or designing clothes for children. And this is what Target apparently believes in. So it's like, oh yeah, do you want your children to be, you know, possessed by Satan? Like, shop at Target. You know, that should be their slogan. Now, shop at Target, be a Satanist. It's amazing watching these brands just commit total suicide, isn't it? I'm watching this and like, wow. You know, I thought Walmart sucked, and now I'd rather go to Walmart than Target, because at least Walmart hasn't partnered with Satan, at least not that I'm aware of. They partnered with globalists, don't get me wrong. But Target has partnered with Satan. It's like, you know, enter here and surrender your soul. You're shopping at Target and surrender your soul, and then your children, and then your children's genitalia, you know, and then here's a slogan, love for all. Yeah, love for all. No, it isn't. It's Satanism. How is it that these CEOs have lost track of what their own marketing personnel are doing for their brands? We are watching the self-immolation of Target and Bud Light, you know, Anheuser-Busch and Gillette and whoever else is out there. And I think Patagonia went out there and did some kind of little mascot. What is it, Pedogonia or Patagonia or something? Patagonia is like all in with trans children now. I mean, these brands just don't know when to stop committing suicide. It's amazing to watch. But you always have a choice of where to spend your money. And I've got this book right here, the Great Patriot Boycott Book. This is by Wayne Allen Root and Nikki Bilieu, who I've interviewed here. And there's a new edition of this coming out, which is removing the Anheuser-Busch company from the book, because they were in the first edition. And then they pulled the Mulvaney self-suicide move right there for their brand. And now the book is being updated. Also, Fox News is being removed from the book, I'm told, so that should be fascinating. But check out that book, The Great Patriot Boycott Book. My company is listed in there as a positive, pro-America, pro-family company to support, and we do appreciate your support. And I can assure you, we will never have a transgender mascot for Brighton or the Health Ranger store. The closest that I get is my security dog. Where he's at? Oh, there he is. Who has colorful toys. Yeah, I mean, you might say they're rainbow-colored toys, perhaps. Some of them are yellow, some of them are purple, whatever. Those are dog toys. That's not an announcement of transgenderism. My dog is not a transgender. He is a male. He is a very powerful, aggressive male, and you do not want to tangle with this dog. Trust me on that point. I've trained with him long enough to know that you do not want to be in his radar as an enemy. You don't want to be identified by Rhodey here as an enemy of this broadcast. Just take my word for it. Okay. So because of what's happening in the world, because of the censorship of money, JP Morgan, fiat currencies, central bank digital currencies, endless money printing, because of these factors and government surveillance and confiscation and what Trudeau did in Canada, we are all in with decentralized finance and decentralized applications. And I will continue to share our progress in that journey with you. And I will encourage you to get up to speed and become proficient in all of these technologies as an end user so that you can take advantage of them as is needed. And also, by the way, I'm still hoping, remember in Texas how there was that bill that was proposed recently by some legislators to have a gold-backed cryptocurrency for the state of Texas, where everybody could use it, everybody could buy and sell and send and receive and, you know, just go buy groceries with a Texas gold-backed cryptocurrency. That bill died in committee, sadly, but that's not the end of that effort. And my understanding is that there will continue to be additional efforts to roll out some kind of a precious metals-backed cryptocurrency or digital money system in the state of Texas. It might take years to come to fruition, but the people of Texas support this idea. And we already have the Texas Gold Depository, by the way, in Leander, Texas, where you can store gold and silver. It's all insured, it's audited, it's inspected by the state. And, you know, it's a very secure place to put your precious metals. What if you could deposit metals and then on your phone have like the digital credit for those metals, which, you know, redeemable for those metals, and then you could use that digital credit to buy groceries? And what if that digital credit was completely private, right? Wouldn't that be cool? That's what I hope to see happen one day in the state of Texas. So I'm a supporter of that concept. I'm an advocate for these ideas of privacy, of surveillance-proof money, unconfiscatable money, where you are in control. You don't need permission to use it because, again, I'm sick and tired of the banking system telling me what I can't do with my own freaking money. It's like, oh, I want to make donations. Oh, you can't do it. Oh, I want to pay a vendor. Oh, it's too much. Oh, I want to receive. I want to deposit this check. Oh, you know, it's too much because, you know, we got a big donation check from a wealthy individual that funded our donations that we sent back out. And they're like, oh, we can't deposit. We need like five levels of bank manager permission. It's like, oh my gosh, it's just money, people. Why are you freaking out over every check that I try to cash or write or every wire I try to send? Everything. I'm sick of it. I'm done with it. Moving out of the banking system as rapidly as possible. And I would love a Texas-backed, gold-backed cryptocurrency system. In the meantime, I'm going to use other cryptocurrencies and I'm going to have gold and silver. That's in my mind, that's what it is. Physical gold and silver. And for digital money, it's privacy-oriented coins. That's my take on it. But you do what works for you. And hopefully, you know, hopefully the government won't come just take all your money or the banks take it all one day with the bail-ins and the freezes. Can you imagine just waking up one day and you try to log into your bank, you know, jpmorganchase.com or whatever it is. And they just tell you, oh, yeah, sorry, due to maintenance issues, i.e. due to government seizures, your account may not work for the next 60 days. But if you accept the terms of this, we're happy to give you equity in the bank. It's a bail-in. It's like, oh, now you're a creditor to the bank. You thought you had money in there, and now they want to give you IOUs, basically. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. Frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens soon. Who knows what's going to happen with the debt ceiling? I don't trust any of these banks any longer. I don't trust the fiat currencies. I can't even trust banks to allow me to write checks anymore. It's that bad. From now on, I'm going to send and receive money using things that I can actually trust, which is decentralized finance. There you go. Simple answer. Okay, with that stated, we're going to jump into the interviews here. We have Doug Billings from the Right Side broadcast, and then we have Adam Riva coming up with Human Farming, the documentary that will shock you and blow your mind. And it's available for free on Brighteon University starting this Saturday at brightu.com. So enjoy these interviews and thank you for all your support. And don't forget about the Memorial Day big sale event happening right now, healthrangerstore.com/Memorial Day. Obviously with no space between Memorial and Day. Just put those words together and you'll go to the landing page. You can see all the specials. Enjoy all that and enjoy the interviews coming up next here on Brighteon Broadcast News. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com, and I am honored to be joined by Doug Billings. He has a show called The Right Side, and he's got a new conference coming up called Determined Patriotism. And the website for that is DeterminedPatriotismConference.com, and that takes place June 9th through 10th in Branson, Missouri, which is a great place for conferences, by the way, so good choice. But Doug Billings joins us now to talk about patriotism and his conference and so much more. Welcome, Doug. Sir, it's always an honor to have you on. I greatly appreciate all the work that you do for America.
Thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate it. And thank you for Brighteon's sponsorship and participation in the event. I'm honored to be a partner with you and Brighteon, of course. We're grateful for all of that. Yeah, it's going to be a great event, June 9th and 10th, Branson, Missouri. And I think, I mean, we've got some of the tier one patriots in the movement in the United States. I mean, General Flynn, Mike Lindell, Devin Nunez, a good friend of ours, Ann Vandersteel, Mel Kay. We've got the Flyover Conservatives, Dr. Jane Ruby. We have a young up-and-coming podcaster by the name of Alex Stone, Christy Hutcherson, who does great work down at the border, and attorney Tom Renz will be there with us. So it's going to be, oh, and Father James Altman. Love Father Altman because, you know, we don't see a lot of the Catholic priests. And I, you know, as a Catholic, I can say this. It's good to see a Catholic priest becoming engaged in saving the Republic against tyranny. We're a step or two behind, but it's good to see Father Altman do that. So he'll be there with us as well on June 9th and 10th.
Oh, that's outstanding. Yeah, I'm looking at the people that are speaking at your event. It really is a who's who of great patriots for America. It's very exciting. Gosh, it makes me wish that I could be there in person because this would be a great group to hang out with too. But nevertheless,
I tell you, Mike, on when if people go to that website that you're looking at there, DeterminedPatriotismConference.com, on the Friday night of the event, we're all going to go out together to a show in Branson. We're gonna go see the Clay Cooper Country Express. It's a family friendly event, and we've done these events this will be our third one in Branson, and inevitably Friday night is always one of the best and most favored nights because we all get together, and yeah, we're trying to save the country from a nightmare, but it's okay to go out together as friends and colleagues and have some fun. Yes. And we're gonna do that in Branson.
Well, and Branson is the place to do that, by the way. Yeah, family friendly entertainment. I don't believe there are any drag queen story hour shows in Branson.
You will not see that in Branson. I can guarantee it.
That's
very conservative,
that's good.
Part of the world.
keep Branson, Branson.
Let's make America Branson again.
Yeah, yes, right. Exactly. For people who want to watch your conference. Now I understand you have in-person tickets, but you also, is there a streaming way where people can watch it?
There is. And again, thanks for Brighteon for you'll be partnering with us in that. We will live stream it on my website, dougbillings.us. And I would assume that it would be available somewhere on Brighteon as well. We're still working out some of those details, you and I and the team. But yeah, to answer your question in a short fashion, yes, it will be live streamed and people will be able to see it.
Yeah, our intention, and we don't have the technical teams all sorted out yet, but our intention is to stream your event on Brighteon as well, because we have, a couple of streaming channels there, but people can find that through Brighteon.tv typically.
Great.
They go there. But for people who want to go there in person, do you still have tickets available?
We do. And I should say that what I do, I would imagine there's a large segment of your audience at Brighteon that has heard of the Clay Clark Reawaken America Tour. Now I speak at those events and along with others. It's nothing like that. It's not nearly as large. I keep my conferences small on purpose, and I want to present and offer a more intimate gathering. So there are 400 total tickets available. And as I look over at our official Determined Patriotism ticket counter, there are 165 tickets left, 165 left. And so if they go to that website and pick them up, I would encourage them to do that. But the advantage is we don't segregate seating for ticket prices. It's one price. It's a very low price. Even a mildly unemployed high school student could afford to go to this conference. And I can promise all of the attendees will be able to meet, speak with all of the speakers. If they want a picture, if they want an autograph, no problem. We're going to have speaker panels on both Friday and Saturday night. So there'll be plenty of opportunity to get contact with the speakers and meet them and so forth. So very small, intimate gathering, Branson, Missouri, DeterminedPatriotismConference.com.
Okay, perfect. And we are an official sponsor of the event, and I'm really happy to be partnering with you, Doug. So Brighton, I guess, is going to be, you know, branded as part of the event. We're thrilled to support you. This is exactly the kind of place that we need to put some assets and some sponsorship so that you can put on events like this. It's not easy. It's not inexpensive to do this.
Listen, no one's making any money here. All of the speakers are donating their time, their talent, their treasures. We're providing a hotel. We've hired a security detail to be there just to keep things, even though it's Branson, we just want to make sure that everything remains on the up and up, because when you throw out the invitation, you're never quite sure of who may or may not show up. But we have never had a problem. We don't anticipate a problem. It's not a look, the goal of all of this is to motivate, inspire, and educate the American people so that they can go back home having networked at an event like this, made new friends with tools, techniques, and mechanisms whereby they can get involved in their local levels of government and reclaim it from this, what I call the Commu Socialist Party, formerly known as Democrats. There are no more Democrats in the elected class as far as I'm concerned. They blended communism and socialism together. And I'd like to just, you know, again, I say this on my show all the time. The radical left in this country, they didn't have anybody, they didn't have the military insert them into power, they didn't have any executive orders insert them into power. They got there because they got involved at the grassroots level. And if we're honest with ourselves as conservatives, we have not done that for many, many decades. And we're waking up. We're waking up. We're getting the job done. But we have got to continue. Even in the age of stolen American presidential elections, we can't let this demon of cynicism, you know, the people out there saying, I'm never going to vote again because it's a rigged system. Well, we need to encourage those people back into reality and back into patriotism, because a patriot doesn't give up the rights that come to them from God. And voting is one of the primary, that and the right to life are the two primary rights that we have from God. And we do not honor God when we abandon the rights that he's given us. So we as conservatives know that there are blessings that are born from adversity, challenge, and tragedy. And we're clearly in one of those times. And so we work forward, and you'll learn about at this conference how to engage in the local level to save this republic, Mike.
Well, I'm really glad to hear you say that, because we are in this fight, whether we like it or not, and we might as well decide to win it. Otherwise, right, we lose our republic. But to reclaim America, it's going to take this determined patriotism, which is the name of your conference. But you are such an informed and effective speaker. But you have all these other speakers coming in. Now, are they going to give practical steps that people can take with them? Because everybody's aware of the problems at this point. Yeah. What about action items that we can use to take this country back from those who are trying to destroy it?
Good question. And yet the answer is yes, you will. It's not just a rah-rah, here's what we got. We all know the issues, to your point. We all know the obstacles. We know the nightmare in which we find ourselves, thanks to Administrator Biden and his Communist Socialist, formerly known as Democrat Party, we all know. So from Dr. Jane Ruby, we'll give specific how-tos on how to overcome the medical tyranny that we faced, how to talk to school boards about medical tyranny, how to prevent that from happening again. Christy Hutcherson will likewise do that with regards to child trafficking and the border crisis that we have been thrust into as a result of no borders, no vetting, people coming across that want to do us harm. Just the other day, a train full of ammonia nitrate, the same substance that was used in the Oklahoma City bombing, all of a sudden vanishes. People are out there who want to do us harm. The attorney Tom Renz will present a special session on Saturday afternoon in light of what happened in the state of Missouri, but applicable to every state. They had a very simple conservative bill put forth, and Missouri is a red state, that would have prevented mRNA or any genetic material that would alter human genetics to be in food or in medicine without being properly labeled. And even though it's a Republican House and Senate, it's filled with rhinos, and that bill, a two-page, very simple read, went down because the rhinos in charge didn't let that pass. So we're going to give examples about how to combat that kind of thing. That can happen in any state. And so, yes, we will, I promise you, people will have a lot of new arrows to add to their quiver of arsenal to fight the radical left mob.
Well, that's outstanding. And here we are more than a year away from the next election, an election that many people believe is the final determining pivot point for this nation. You know, we either rescue our republic or it's gone at that point. What do you think, and this is not simply about your conference or the speakers there, but what do you think is going to be necessary to win this election for America, regardless of the candidate? I'm talking about the process, because we know it's rigged. We know the Democrats are going to cheat. We know they're going to try to probably imprison Trump if he is the nominee. I mean, we know these things. How do we fight against that peacefully through the rule of law when the other side, the Democrats, are lawless, cheaters, liars, and propagandists? They respect no law whatsoever. How do we do this?
They certainly are, all of that on the left. I grant you that. And it is daunting. So here's my take on this. Look, to many people in the audience, it appears as if 2020 was the breaking point when the theft of an American presidential election happened, and it seems as if everything happened in 2020. When we have to take a step back, what I recommend to people are four key virtues in all of this. First of all, wisdom, with a capital W. We have to seek out wisdom from the Holy Spirit and reflect upon these things. So wisdom and reflection. We as conservatives don't simply react like the radical left does. We have to reflect on it, and then we take action, peaceful action, wisdom, reflection, action at the local level. Again, we don't have, when things don't go our way, we don't have pallets of bricks, rocks, and stones delivered to street corners in downtown America to throw through street front or storefront windows. We reflect, we act peacefully, and then finally we have to grant ourselves with the virtue of patience, because here's the truth. It's been 126 years. In 1897, and this is not a number that's just picked out of a hat, in the Rockefeller family, the Carnegie family, the Dewey family, all products of what was called the Frankfurt School over in Europe, became enamored with what was going on in Russia and China, and they began the socialist communist movement in the United States. All of those gentlemen were avowed socialists, and they began to, with their money, with their foundations, hold hostage our institutions, education, media, entertainment, religion even, and they've been slowly, since 1897, their side became activists and zealots. John and Jane Doe on the street getting involved, and they became inculcated, they became indoctrinated to all of these radical extremist views that they held, and over time, we find ourselves here and now. Now, what I'm not saying is that it's not going to take 126 years for us to get out of this mess. We can accelerate that by virtue of our involvement. I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that most people in this republic, despite what you see in the media, I mean, the transgender movement occupies less than 0.002% of the population in this country. Yet you would think that it's on everybody's front burner, that everybody wants it because of the media. It's not the case. We occupy the majority of people. And when I say that, I mean most people in this country, I believe, have a conservative bent to them. They believe in God. They might not go to church every day or every Sunday, but they believe in God. They believe in going to work. They believe in an honest wage for an honest day's work. They don't believe in free entitlements. They don't believe what they're seeing at the border boosts human dignity, like the radical left will say. They believe that America should be set first. And I think more people than not believe that. Recent polls, there's a poll that just came out today by Dick Morris and the McLaughlin Report. Biden is tumbling in these polls. Robert F. Kennedy, who just a couple of weeks ago really wasn't polling, and the radical left are going to try to keep it that way, by the way, but he's up to about 30%. Biden still has the majority, but he's coming up in the polls, and the lawfare that's being thrust against President Trump is actually bolstering Trump's numbers. Right. And so the radical left is in this conundrum. Do they continue the lawfare? Yes, I think they will, obviously, but it's bolstering Trump. And you've got decent American people who may be the last of what are the John F. Kennedy Jr., the John F. Kennedy Democrats out there thinking, wait a minute, this is crazy. If they're going after Trump like this, this is Nutsville. And they're coming to either our side or they're looking at RFK Jr. And Biden's in trouble. And the radical left has got to make a decision. Now, I think that you're going to see in the next week or two, they're going to prosecute Trump for this document handling, the Mar-a-Lago doc. They're going to try to indict him. But we have to, it's got to be, we've got to be united. We've got to push our way through it.
So at the end of the day, it's nonsense. Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. But that's so intriguing what you mentioned about that poll. And you said that that was also a poll with the McLaughlin group as well.
Yes,
is that 30% of likely Democrat voters supporting RFK Jr.?
Yes. Yeah, good question. It's if the question is phrased as, if the Democratic primary was held today, who would you vote for? And so 30%, I'm rounding up, 28% said RFK Jr.
Wow.
And 58 said Biden still has the majority, but the good news is, and it's early. It's so, the good news is because it's so early that RFK is way up than what he was just a few weeks ago.
So then my question to you, see, I think RFK Jr. is going to continue to climb steadily.
Oh, I do too.
And, you know, he's got a heart for America, even though we may not, you know, you or Trump certainly may not agree with all of his policies. And I have a few issues on which I disagree with him, but you can't discount the man's honesty, integrity, and heart. He is an ethical person from my point of view, which means that the Democrats can't stand him, right? So they're going to have to put somebody else in. Now, I've heard the name Michelle Obama thrown around. Who do you think, that if Biden becomes a non-viable candidate on the Democrat side, who do you think the Democrats will try to put in there to stop RFK?
Yeah, you bring up, and in fact, it's ironic, and we, you know, and for the audience, you and I didn't talk about this, but I just wrapped up my show just prior to coming on to this one, and I talk about this very thing. The Biden is in such trouble, and it wouldn't surprise me that if, you know, the radical left is looking, the people who are really in charge, and it's not Administrator Biden, the people who are really in charge behind the scenes might yank him because of these numbers if they continue on this trend. Now, who's the replacement? Will it be Michelle Obama? I know that's a rumor that's out there that many people are speculating about and so forth. There's also Gavin Newsom. I mean, you've got this, there's a segment of, on both sides of the political aisle with the age dilemma. There are people out there who think it's time to look at people that are younger than 60. You know, we've got the Trump, obviously way older than 60, Biden way, way older than 60. And so you look at Gavin Newsom and you think, well, he would fit the younger demographic for that party. He's an up and comer. I am not on the Michelle band. And again, I know the people out there are saying Michelle will be the one. I don't think it will be Michelle Obama. I don't think she'll do it. First of all, I don't think she has a personal interest in it. But who knows? I mean, the pressure that people can put on somebody who says they don't have an interest could change when they dangle all other sorts of things in front of them. I think it'll be interesting to watch this whole thing develop. We're still way, way far away from anything. Bernie Sanders is not going to run again. He's got the age against him and he's done. But here's what I do think. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Hillary throw her hat back in.
No, please, no. I thought we ended her candidacy.
Someone that vain and that power. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I have no proof of that. It's just a gut. I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. All right. You wouldn't be surprised, but you're not predicting it.
Yeah. No, not predicting.
Okay. Well, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, demon horns sprout out of her head on live TV, but I'm not predicting that that's going to happen because they keep those things, you know, underneath. Yes. Right. So jokes aside, what about on the Republican side of things? They don't want Trump, obviously. The Republican establishment doesn't want Trump, but the American people on the conservative side absolutely love Trump. DeSantis is throwing his hat into the ring. Tim Scott recently announcing there's some talk that Trump might reach out to Tim Scott as a VP candidate. And Tim Scott, though, seems to be owned by big tech, which is half the problem Republicans are undergoing right now with censorship. Yeah. So what's your take on all of that?
So my take on Tim Scott is that he is vying for a cabinet position. I do not think he's going to be asked to be vice president. Don't think that's going to happen. I've based that on conversations that I've had with people, some of the people that we've mentioned speaking at the event and others. But I think that what Tim is doing is getting his name out there and vying for a cabinet position. So DeSantis, here's the thing about our conservative side. There is no such thing as a perfect candidate. No such thing. Not even President Trump is a perfect candidate. I look at Trump and I think he's already proven that he can do this. He can reveal. In fact, the greatest thing, in my opinion, that President Trump has done is that he's revealed to us and shown us the depth and depravity of the deep state.
True.
That's perhaps the greatest thing that he's done. And we didn't really talk about the deep state that much prior to President Trump. We might have mentioned it here and there, but not as much. So I like DeSantis, and I know he's not perfect. I know there are people out there who think that he's part of the Bush political machine. He's deep state, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But is there a perfect candidate? No. Early on, a few months, about 6 or 7 months ago, I was suggesting, hey, Trump, DeSantis. I think that would be an invincible. They're both from Florida. They can't do it. Yes, they can. It might not be strategically smart with the Electoral College, but there's no law that prohibits two people from the same state running as president and vice president. You can look that up.
That's right.
But I think they would be invincible. And what we're after, really, whether it's DeSantis or Kerry Lake or whomever, is we're after 12 years at least. We're not just after these four with Trump. We're after 12. And DeSantis, whomever, I mean, he's not politically correct. He tells it like it is. He's winning the war against Disney and their coalition of immorality down there. And he might have some baggage with regards to what true America First conservatives would want. But again, I would just put it to you, there is no such thing as a perfect candidate, and we've got to work our way towards at least 12, if not 16 years in the White House.
Well, you mentioned Kerry Lake, too, in that description, and I think our audience very much admires, even adores Kerry Lake.
Oh, yeah.
And her courage and her willingness to just stand her ground and not back down. Yeah. I would say, but I want your reaction to this, I would say that that's something that Trump in his first administration was lacking because he was surrounded by so many swamp creatures and he didn't fight hard enough, perhaps, that's just my opinion, for his beliefs, and ended up, compromising or being, let's say, stilted in it by the people around him. But Kerry Lake, I think, would make an excellent vice president, or a senator, or obviously a governor as well. But what do you think about Kerry Lake's chances with the Trump ticket?
Well, I echo everything you say. I adore her. I admire her. I think she's courageous. I think she's a fighter. She's got a charisma. She's articulate. I mean, what good grief. I mean, I say all the time, it's proof of the pudding that conservatives are by and large much more attractive than liberals. I'm telling you that right now. So it's not just my opinion, it's fact. And I'm not talking about just physical beauty. We have this glow. We have this hopefulness about us, the love of America that drives us, with the love of God primarily. And Kerry Lake fits all it. She is a fighter. She is so articulate in what she says. Now, her years as a broadcaster obviously have helped hone those skills. But I would love to see a Trump-Lake ticket. And, if we're going to have any woman near the White House, I'd much rather have Kerry Lake than the vice pretender we have now.
Right. Or Nikki Haley, for that matter.
Or Nikki Haley. Well, Nikki Haley won't get close. For anybody, not that your audience has, Nikki Haley is not our friend. She's not a true America First Republican.
Right. Exactly.
Conservative, I should say. Yeah.
So what about the Republican establishment, though? They can play. They have played. Certain individuals have played a lot of dirty tricks on Trump in the past. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be able to stop Trump or not?
Well, I think barring any kind of catastrophic situation with this lawfare that they're throwing at Trump, barring any kind of catastrophic. Now, I'm on record. I don't think Trump is going to get in trouble. I don't think he's going to go to jail. But, barring any kind of catastrophe, I think it's a foregone conclusion that Trump is going to get the nomination from the Republican ticket. I just think he's going to get it. I think that he's going to go in there, and we're going to have to continue the battle with the Mitch McConnells of the world, with the Mitt Romneys, with the Lindsey Grahams. We've got to root them out. Now, this is where wisdom, action, reflection, and patience comes into play, because we are not going to be able to get these swamp creatures out in one felt swoop. We're going to have to begin to get engaged and stay engaged for the long game. Our end game has to be to cleanse the American Republic of these rhinos and the nonsense. We've got to get back to the Constitution, but it's not going to happen overnight. And we just have to come to terms with that. So, yes, I think that there are every reason to be hopeful about what Trump will do. And one last thought on that. There are some people out there that say, who have abandoned Trump, who say that, well, he's going to be a lame duck president from day one. He's not going to get anything done. And I say, give me a break. If there's anybody that, you know, it takes most candidates 7 years to get what Trump can get done in a year. It's like Trump's like dog years when it comes to being able to get things done. What it takes you and me 1 year, or 7 years, he can get it done in one. He's going to get it done, whether it's by executive action or by other protocols. He's going to get a lot done. And look for General Michael Flynn to be put in charge of cleansing the Department of Justice, including the FBI, to gutting it and cleansing it. That's what Trump means when he says, stay healthy, Mike. We're going to bring you back. He's going to put Flynn, I'm almost convinced, in charge of gutting and cleansing, if not eliminating, the Department of Justice and FBI.
Wait a second. Wait, this is really enticing. I love what you're talking about here, but we love General Flynn, and bringing him back sounds fantastic. I call it the resurrection of Flynn here. But yeah. What position, what title would give an individual like that the power to do what you just described? I mean,
well, in his own words, General Flynn has said, I want to create a new position called the Department of Accountability. Now, he says that a bit tongue in cheek, okay, to be completely transparent. But to hold these departments accountable, and I mean the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Education, the Center for Disease and Control, the CDC, all of these things that have wreaked havoc upon America these last several years, to be held accountable to the law and to be gutted and cleansed. Now, maybe some of them will be eliminated. None of them have a constitutional right to exist. They just exist because they were formed by executive order and privilege. But they must be gutted. They must be cleansed. And I can't say it with 100% certainty, but knowing Flynn and having met with Trump a few times, I wouldn't be surprised if that's where you find General Flynn, if in fact Trump gets his second administration.
Wow. That would be very exciting. But interestingly, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I think, agrees with most of that as well, right?
Yes.
Because he has seen the abuse of power by the FBI, the DOJ, the White House with censorship and so much more, and the FDA and the NIH and all of it. So, you know, isn't it interesting? We have a Democrat candidate and then Trump and potentially Flynn that really share a very large set of common goals, which is to dismantle the bureaucratic state.
Yes, 100%. They do. And, you know, if we give ourselves permission to dream a little bit, and if we dream that President Trump does, in fact, get a second term, I know that, you know, Robert F. Kennedy has publicly said he doesn't want anything to do with the Trump campaign or being part of the ticket. That's one thing. But his call to service would come to, if Trump were to ask him, either be on the cabinet or be head up a special committee, do some, RFK Jr. would say yes. He would answer that call. I don't know RFK Jr., but I see his sense of duty, and I would bet and speculate that that would be something that he would do if Trump were to win.
Well, I believe that Trump failed to follow through on an invite with RFK the first time. And that may be a sticking point, but I agree with you that RFK Jr., should he not win the presidency himself, he definitely wants to be constructive in helping America in any way he can in anyone's administration. But what's fascinating to me is that both RFK and Trump have themselves been victims of the atrocities of government gone bad. And that's why we need both of these men in the fight. I would love to see a debate between those two as the nominees, because I feel like America wins in some way if either one of those individuals gains power in the Oval Office. Like if we can get the Clintons and the Biden crime cartel out of the way, you know, better things are going to happen for this country.
100% agreed. Yeah, I would like to see that debate as well, Mike. And I think I agree. You know, obviously I've got a favorite horse in that race. I want Trump to win. But if we're dreaming here a bit, if RFK Jr. wins, we are light years ahead away from the destruction of this republic than we would have been if the commu-socialist wing of the radical left got and retained power. So, yeah, he's the last of the true John F. Kennedy Democrats, a group of folks that really do genuinely love the country.
Yes.
They don't agree with us on every life and so forth. They don't agree with us on all of the issues. But the and you know what? I think that Trump, if he does win, to put RFK Jr. on his COVID rebound team, his COVID recover, something like that, take the place of Fauci, do something with him to in a regard that could serve and continue to serve RFK's vision and mission to help the Republic.
Yeah, how about let's put him on a team called pull the plug on funding team, like pull the plug on the funding to the NIH and the gain of function research and the CDC and the FDA. Just pull the plug on all that funding because it's been a nightmare for the American people. Now, we're just about out of time here today, Doug, and I appreciate you taking time with me. I know you have your own show. In fact, you have your own show on Brighton TV.
I do.
That's Tuesday evenings?
Tuesday evenings, yep.
Okay.
6:45 Central Time, and we love it over there. Shout out to producer Heather. Love her. She's a great gal.
Outstanding.
I got to meet her at Trump Doral, so I just want to give her a shout out.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Yeah, we have great producers. And then your conference, the website again is Determined Patriotism Conference. That's June 9th and 10th in Branson, Missouri. Some in-person tickets are still available. It's two amazing days. And then some of the speakers are right here, including Devin Nunez and Ann Vandersteel, Mel Kay, Thomas Renz, and so on. Christy Hutcherson, Dr. Jane Ruby as well, many others. And Doug, I just want to say I'm thrilled that you're putting this on. Thank you so much for what you do. We're thrilled to support you in this effort. And you know, we can't wait to just watch this and see the message that you're presenting there.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you and your team so much. Brighteon is a bright light in America and in the new media. I'm honored to be part of your team and as a small voice in all of the magnificent voices that you guys host over there. God bless you and cheers to your audience.
You too, Doug. God bless you and thank you for all that you have done for this republic. If we are to retrieve or revive this republic, it's due to people like you, by the way. So keep up the excellent work and thank you for joining me today. That was Doug Billings, everyone, there from, again, DeterminedPatriotismConference.com. And his main website, Doug, is it DougBillings.com? Is that it?
Yeah, DougBillings.us.
.us, I'm sorry. Okay. Yep. DougBillings.us. And check out his show on Brighteon.tv. And God bless America. We have a path to victory. And all we've got to do is get the right people here in the right positions with the nominations on both parties. And then we can experience a win either way in some fashion. You know, we can do better than what's happening right now. Let's just put it that way. We can do a lot better. We can save this republic. And Trump, I think, in a second term, I think he would, frankly, if you don't mind me saying, I think he would just start kicking ass on day one because he wouldn't sit around and wait for anything anymore. It's like, this is it. Let's go. General Flynn, go to work, right? So we'll see. Let's see if we can make that happen. Thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams. And as always, feel free to repost this interview on other channels and platforms and give credit to Doug Billings. And if you can, if you're near Branson, Missouri, which is kind of southwestern Missouri, not far from the border of Arkansas there, then if you're driving distance, maybe you're in Kansas or Oklahoma or Texas or wherever, check it out. Join in person June 9th and 10th. It'll be the experience of a lifetime. Thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. God bless America and take care. Today's interview is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com and our Memorial Day sale event. You can just go to this web address, HealthRangerStore.com/Memorial Day. I'm actually filming this a little bit ahead of time, but as you can see, there's a countdown. This begins on Thursday, May 25th, and this is when it ends, is May 29th, which is Monday. But beginning Thursday at 11 a.m. Central, you'll be able to get 10% off lab-verified supplements and superfoods. Plus, we're offering 10% off the introduction of this new Silverite Perfect Bed Pillow, which I have here on my desk showing you here. Yep, there it is. Silverite Pillow, which is infused with silver, and it uses a natural seed pod-derived kapok fiber as the filler, which is naturally repels mold, spores, and fungi, and moisture. by the way. And the silver infusion is on the outside pillowcase as well as the inner shell that holds the KPOC fiber. So you have two layers of silver that's already been verified to be there by our lab, by the way. We can verify that silver content is in there. Plus the KPOC fiber, you're going to get your best night's rest ever. These are not inexpensive, by the way. They're not low-cost pillows. And so they're 10% off right now during this Memorial Day sale event. Plus, we have many other supplements that are on sale. As you can see, 10% off lab-verified supplements and superfoods. So you can check out our Romeo seed butters, Omega soft gels, organic whole hemp seed, essential oils, and so much more. Check it all out at healthrangerstore.com/Memorial Day. And it begins, perhaps by the time you see this, Thursday at 11 a.m. Central. It's one of our biggest sales events of the year. And you'll save big on a number of items through Monday night at midnight. And for these silver pillows, we only have a limited supply. And when they're gone until a few months later when we're running additional production. But it's a long production time, so we won't have these for months after we sell the current inventory. So check it out, and thank you for your support. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, and we're joined once again by Adam Riva. He is the creator of the film called Human Farming, P-H-A-R-M-I-N-G, as in Big Pharma is farming human beings for corporate profits and much more. Maybe we'll talk about organ harvesting. But that documentary, Human Farming, is broadcast for free on Brighteon University, which is brightu.com. And that's just spelled like bright and then the letter U. B-R-I-G-H-T-U.com. And it starts this Saturday, which is May 27th. And it will be streaming there for free, just registration required. And you can watch it for the entire week at no charge, Human Farming. Now, Adam is joining us. We got cut off last time because of a technical issue, and we didn't get a chance to ask him all the questions that I had. So he rejoins us today to finish the interview. So welcome, Adam. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me back on, Mike. It speaks to your character that you would pick me up back up on the show after we had some technical difficulties. So thank you again.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. What, did you think I was going to be mad? That's not your fault. I mean... You know, tech issues happen all the time to everybody.
You're a busy guy, so I know how tight your schedule is.
Okay, well, fair enough, but you're a busy guy too. I mean, you have dauntlessdialogue.com, which is your filmmaking, your film website. I didn't get a chance to ask you about all this, so let's start there. If people want to go there, it's Dauntless Dialogue, which is spelled D-I-A-L-O-G-U-E.com. And you have all these other films, which is like the Luciferian Shadow here. Mockingbird, The Origin of Fake News, and so on, Suicided. What are these all films that you yourself worked on, or do you have other filmmakers, or what's going on?
Yeah, that's a great place to start. So I started Dauntless Dialogue a few years ago, and we've been building this library of original premium content. And although it's a lofty, ambitious goal, we're trying to kind of obsolesce Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, right? The degenerate propaganda outlets.
Right.
And so we're trying to do real truthful journalism. And what that looks like is high production value. We try to bring our A game with impeccable research, and we try to cover a variety of topics so that we're always keeping it fresh. We're always keeping you guessing. We cover a variety of topics from child trafficking of the elite. We cover the pharmaceutical industry. We get into political commentary. We kind of touch on everything. And we've even got an animated series called Dystopia, which is based on real people having real conversations about real conspiracies. And we take little sound bites and then we animate it. I work with some professional animators.
Wow, I love that.
And so we're trying to not only do truthful journalism, we're also trying to build culture. So not only are we fighting, you know, a World War III, a civil war in America, there's a culture war. And so if you're not the overtly political type, you can still kind of engage in this battle, which is to say, make awesome culture, things that are going to hold your values and promote your beliefs and move the needle culturally, because, you know, that's part of the sea of information that we're all kind of swimming through.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you really get it. You have a good big picture grasp of what's going on. That's why we're really excited to work with you. And this is the first film that we're partnering with you on, your documentary here, Human Farming. Again, starts this Saturday, folks, on brightyou.com. Just register to watch the whole thing for free. And then if you want, there's an option to purchase the download of the film. I believe it's a download to help support Adam Riva and his efforts as well. But Adam, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if this goes well, can we do this with you again on one of your other documentaries?
Definitely. I've been speaking behind the scenes with your team. We have another series lined up called A Blind Eye. And if I could just pitch that for a second to your audience. I was raised Roman Catholic, devout Roman Catholic family. My brother was an altar server. My father was in the Knights of Columbus. He was like a grandmaster knight or something.
Wow.
My mother was a Eucharistic minister. I was an usher. And so we kind of grew up in that culture. And I want to be clear, and I just want to say explicitly that A Blind Eye is not a shot at Christianity or Catholicism per se. It's a shot at what I call the deep church. So just like we have the deep state.
I like that term, right?
That got a reaction out of you.
Yes, the deep church.
We have the deep state embedded in government, right? And this is the bureaucrats, the lobbyists, the lifers for career politicians. And you find a lot of the same problems in pretty much every institution you look at. And so that's part of the heavy lifting we're doing with the journalism over at Dauntless Dialogue. And A Blind Eye was written by me. A lot of the series, I think most of the series, are written by me. And I also am a filmmaker, so I do a lot of the video editing myself. And then I have a really talented team, Mouthy Buddha, Loyal Nine. We're hiring some new talent right now. These are names that, you know, some of your audience might be familiar with. And really, the Dauntless kind of started because we were getting shadow banned, age gated, deplatformed. In a lot of cases, we were getting cut off with payment processors like Venmo, PayPal.
Oh, yeah.
And so they were going after us, not only with our influence and our, you know, our platform, but they were going after us financially. And so I saw the writing on the wall. I knew that the cancel culture and the censorship was increasing. So I decided to start building our own little free speech zone. You hear about that term with respect to college campuses, the free speech zone. But that's kind of what we're doing. And so sorry, go ahead.
No, but I want to ask you about A Blind Eye, actually, because, you know, I interview Steve Quayle frequently, and Steve Quayle calls the Pope the entity. And again, he's not attacking Catholicism, nor am I. We love Catholics. We love Christians. We love Jews. We love all the different forms of faith, right? And other forms as well, Sikhs and Muslims and Hindus as well. I mean, I don't discriminate on people's faith, right? It's about being moral and ethical. But the Pope is not a moral, ethical human being, in my opinion. He is some kind of, like you say, deep church entity. Can you give us a little teaser? Do you cover what shenanigans are going on with how, I mean, they had an internal coup in the Vatican to put this guy in power, right?
Oh yeah. You're spot on, Mike. So A Blind Eye, I would say, like, you know, no ego involved here. Let's say that. I think it's the definitive series on the Catholic Church with respect to the infiltration, the subversion, and the redirection of the church. And so we go into not only Pope Francis, not only Pope Benedict, Pope John Paul. We kind of look back, you know, retrospectively 80 years, 100 years, because a lot of people, they kind of pick up the pieces from 2001 or 2002, when the Boston Globe broke the story on, you know, the crisis. And what most people are unaware of is that since then, a deluge of evidence and whistleblowers and victims have stepped forward, and it's created this this breadcrumb trail of evidence that you can look back at how corrupt the church has been for a very long time. And so there's an organization called the San Gallo Mafia. It goes by different names, but the Mafia of San Gallo is, according to Leo Zagami, who I believe is a 33rd degree Freemason who defected, who's been writing books and being prolific on, you know, what he witnessed and what he read and the conversations that he had. And he talks about how the San Gallo Mafia is really the pedophile and kind of homosexual epicenter of the church, which has really brought in a lot of these neoliberal values, like the erosion of national sovereignty via, you know, open borders and the climate change agenda and the trans agenda. And, you know, that you can see how the church has shifted its position on abortion and a lot of these other issues. And so, again, you know, I'm libertine. I think everybody should kind of follow the faith and everything that they're compelled to. But I think that it's imperative for us to make sure we hold these institutions to account, hold their feet to the fire.
Well, what I see with the Vatican, and then let's talk back about human farming more, but what I see with the Vatican is it's a concentration of so much power in the hands of so few people that it got infested and taken over by dark, in my opinion, demonic forces at the highest levels. And then they wield the power of the church as a weapon against those who might speak out. And there's so many cases of cover-ups of course, child abuse and child trafficking, but also financial crimes that the Vatican carries out, all kinds of money laundering and, you know, bribery and kickbacks and things like that. And then the fact that the Vatican has its own kind of sovereignty status in the world, which means it has its own kind of embassy-style immunity. Who knows what's going on behind those walls on any given day, right?
And if I could just add one more thought to that before we pivot, we're pretty late in the stage of like the New World Order. And so if there's going to be a one world government, if there's going to be, you know, this kind of one world currency or all of these various iterations, you would expect there to be some kind of one world religion, as people like Bill Cooper warned us about.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And concentration of power leads to evil taking it over. And this is why we have to have decentralization, which, by the way, in the world of religion would be a small local church with a local pastor that actually reads the Bible and teaches the Bible and isn't controlled by puppet strings from Rome or somewhere, right? Just small local churches.
Yes. And I think the position that we're in right now, globally, geopolitically, culturally, this is really the exponential takeoff point for technology, and some call it, you know, the Great Awakening. So you've got kind of the Great Reset going this way, the Great Awakening going this way. You've got citizen journalists stepping up to plate with their own cameras, their own, you know, podcasts, what you're doing. And so we're decentralizing the Mockingbird apparatus into a million pieces. You know, I think JFK has that famous quote where he's like, I want to shatter the intelligence community, splinter it into a million pieces. And I want to do that with, you know, with the media. And this is kind of why there's like a race to the finish now. They turned on the internet 20, 25 years ago, right? Whatever. And that was for a very short window. I'm fortunate in my life when it kind of coincided with my adolescence that there was a brief window where it was like the Wild West and it was a free flow of information for the most part. And the algorithms weren't suppressing you, and you would stumble down a new rabbit hole every day. You'd learn something every day. And they wanted to use it, right? The adversary, the kind of global order, wanted to usher in this kind of prison planet, which means clamping down on everything, getting their social credit system in place. It means bringing in the surveillance state, Big Brother. And so it's a race to the finish. They want to use it for their means of control, and we want to use it for our means of liberating people, sharing information, and you know, liberating the human spirit.
Well said. Completely agree with you. So getting back to human farming, Adam, in our previous interview, you mentioned that there was a part three that I think you're currently working on, but it's not available yet. And was that about solutions? Did I hear that correctly?
So the way that we do Dauntless Dialogue videos, we kind of work on them maybe one over here while I'm working on another series in the background. So I'm writing part three right now. I'm not quite sure when it's going to come out, but it goes into solutions. So a part of what we do at Dauntless is we expose the evil, but we also like to expose the truths that have been hidden from the population. And so what does that look like, right? If the control apparatus in medicine, in healthcare, is a synthetic system of keeping you on drugs forever, what they call treatment, and hitting you with radiation or chemotherapy or these various forms of poison, well, then the opposite, right? Finding the path to healing is, of course, detoxifying, de-stressing, and bringing the nutrition back into your body and clearing the mind, right? Because your body, right? Your body is kind of downstream from your thoughts. And so we're going to explore what that looks like. We're going to explore a lot of the suppressed scientists. We're going to kind of look at also how a lot of the doctors and those who've spoken up over the years have even in some cases been assassinated or just had, you know, gone through character assassination.
Well, yeah, that's extremely common. And of course, Aaron Elizabeth covers so many physicians that have been murdered for helping people heal. And recently we lost Dr. Rasha Buttar, by the way.
Yep.
So, you know, that is happening. And there are many cases that I'm personally aware of. But it seems to focus, like Dr. Gonzalez out of New York a few years ago, seems to focus on doctors that are the most effective at curing people of cancer, I've noticed. If they can reverse cancer, then they get put on a hit list.
And more recently, COVID, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, there are solutions against the spike protein, right? Mm-hmm. But the hospitals have been turned into murder wards. You know, I interviewed Thomas Renz, the attorney who is representing a client that has that audio recording, where essentially the nurses were ordered to mass murder every patient on the floor of their hospital. But for some reason, it was only that floor. So it's kind of like, you know, seventh floor genocide or something.
Mm.
It's like, let's just wipe out that floor, clear that floor, and then the people on the other floors will never hear about it.
Well, cancer, you know, is the big moneymaker, right? And so if you're going after their bottom line and you're effective in getting your message out, if you have a big bullhorn, a big platform, and you're affecting that change, then you kind of put a target on your own back.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, don't you feel like in all your filmmaking and what you've looked into that we, all of humanity right now, we are living in a distorted theatrical version of history that has unfolded before us that is completely falsified. And every solution that could set humanity free has been taken from us, memory wiped, memory holed from history. I mean, we could be living with abundant energy, with abundant health, with abundant financial wealth commonly among many people. But all of this has been meticulously stripped from us. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Everything is pageantry. Everything is a hall of mirrors. And my friend and fellow filmmaker, Jason Burmes, the brilliant mind behind Loose Change, right?
Yes.
And other fabled enemies. He says that Satanism, his definition for it, is the inversion of reality, the inversion of truth. And we're living in a time where it's like not only unpopular, it's almost deadly to speak up and to say the truth and to just make basic observations about reality.
Right. Like the sky is blue.
Or men and women exist.
Yeah. Men cannot get pregnant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The sky is blue. Men can't get pregnant. And Earth is a water planet.
Yes.
Right. I mean, you're not allowed to say these things. And Operation Paperclip brought Nazis to run NASA. I mean, it's a fact, you know, those documents aren't even secret anymore, but you say that to a typical person and, oh, you crazy. You know, no, that was a program to bring Nazi scientists who worked on the V2 rockets to build NASA so that America could have military dominance in space. I mean, it's not that crazy of a conspiracy theory.
Everything runs its course, right? And so nothing like this can sustain itself forever. And what I mean by that is a system of lies and belief systems that are just built on sand, they're not going to last. It's like trying to build a pyramid upside down. You're going to reach a point where that Jenga tower falls. And so, or to put it differently, the bubble's going to burst, right? And so you know, here we are pretty late in the game of this kind of New World Order construction, where they basically had us construct their New World Order for them, because we're all believing a lot of falsehoods. Right. And so what that's going to look like in the long run, it's going to boomerang. I really think that I'm an optimist, and I think that the human spirit is resilient. I think there's enough people who are awakening, and there's enough freedom fighters out there who have kids, who care about the future, who are invested in the future, who are going to just do everything they can to oppose the deceit. And eventually, yeah, we're going to see the bubble burst.
Well, Adam, I really look forward to not only watching Human Farming, but also introducing more of your films to our audience, and to interviewing you again about those subjects. It's really refreshing to know that someone like you and your partner are out there with such a well-informed, but let's say vibrant look at reality, and that you're not afraid to talk about it. So I really appreciate you joining me today and allowing us to offer this film. Any final thoughts before we wrap up today's interview?
Well, first of all, let me just thank you, because it's the forerunners like you and others who've really paved the way for people like me. So I wouldn't be doing what I am doing today if it wasn't for the bravery and insights of people like you. So thank you for that. And then to your audience, despite the lies, despite the genocide, despite all the tyranny, you know, don't lose hope. And we have within us the truth, the answers, the resilience, the passion. We have everything we need inside of us, the discernment to cut through the lies and to really build the future that we want to see.
I completely agree with you. And to build that future, we simply have to become aware of the plan that you're going down, if it's just by default. And that's not the plan where you want to end up with, because that's a plan for human extermination. So instead, become aware, you know, through films like yours, Adam, and then that's how we can make changes. And we embrace each other. We embrace decentralization, localization, local communities, you know, growing food, having, you know, decentralized money, all these things that make us free, saving seeds, sharing seeds, embracing alternative medicine, which is the only system of medicine that actually works, by the way.
And it didn't used to be called alternative.
I know.
It was just
exactly
the way it was.
It was all just indigenous medicine, but the film, folks, starts this Saturday, May 27th. Again, it's called Human Farming, and you can register to watch it for free at brightyou.com. Again, no charge to see that film, Human Farming. Just go to brightyou.com and you'll see this, Human Farming. You click to register, put in your name and your email, or your fake name and your real email, whatever you want. You can have a made up name, and then you can watch this for free. And it repeats during the week. Human Farming, it's just the first of many documentaries that we will have at Brighteon University, which is where you learn the truth for free. So thank you for watching today. And thank you again, Adam. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care then. And best to you. And we'll keep you posted about how many people are watching your film with us at Brighteon University. Thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. And you can repost this interview on other channels, should you choose to do so. Go ahead and do that. You have our permission. Thank you for watching. Thank you for your support. Thank you for supporting Brighteon University. Take care, everybody. We have an interesting sponsor for today's interview. If you thought the world was nuts, well, how would you like to just eat some clean nuts instead of living through the nuts? Look, we have raw organic cashews at the Health Ranger store right here. I'm showing you cashews and almonds. And then on my desk here, I've got a number 10 can full of macadamia nuts, and we have the bags of macadamia nuts as well. These are all organic. These are all laboratory tested for heavy metals and glyphosate. And by the way, a lot of mac nut farms do use glyphosate. I've done stories about that before. So you want to make sure your nuts are tested also for aflatoxins. And we do test for aflatoxins as well. And coming up soon, we'll be testing for dioxins, although we're not doing that quite yet. So enjoy some very healthy cashews, almonds, macadamia nuts, and more at healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support.